RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Hump Day Val and
it is Beans. Are we in the middle of the week? It feels like Friday to me.
Yeah, a Tuesday felt like Wednesday.
Schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
Yeah, I thought there was a couple of times yesterday I made the mistake of thinking it was Wednesday. Just everything felt like it started late in the week so early.
Yeah, I agree. I had the same issue. It feels like the end of the week. The week is dragging on for some reason. And that's just where we find ourselves. So what happened? So here, Church versus Biden update, guys. Number one, the judge ruled on that temporary injunction. She ruled against it.
Great.
So the reasons why, to be honest, are good. And I hate saying that out loud, but it's true. I mean, I wish that a judge could do what the left does and say, oh, well, you know, logic, reason and facts be damned. We're doing what we want. But that doesn't happen to us. We always have to follow bullshit. Excuse my French. So basically, the judge says, what am I doing? What am I ruling on? The claims are not ripe, meaning they're not ready to be decided, i.e. all of the employees on the lawsuit, all the plaintiffs, none of them have suffered any harm yet. All of their religious exemptions have been put in. In the two cases on the lawsuit where they'd been denied, the appellate process is proceeding. There's no action being taken against the employees as it does. So the judge is like, what am I ruling on? Why am I stopping this? Nothing is going wrong right now.
Okay.
You can't assume something will because we haven't gotten there yet. When something does, then by all means.
I guess people, and rightfully so, want the pendulum that's swinging over their head to be removed.
Yes. And, you know, let's see that she just she requested that the attorneys file something saying what they want to do with the case because she all about, in my opinion, dismissed it with this 40-page motion. But there was one interesting thing in here that I liked, and it is that there's a footnote that is very interesting, Frank, and should give some pause to the other side, so to speak. For example, it says, the federal employee plaintiff's claim rests on the assumption that they will be in a position in which they are forced to receive an EUA vaccine as opposed to an FDA-approved vaccine, and that they will be denied the opportunity to be informed of the option to accept or refuse administration of the product. But even this alleged harm is speculative because it is possible their exemption request will be granted and they will not be required to receive a vaccine. Now, why do I think that that's important?
Why?
Because it's a nod to the fact that it's not FDA approved.
Yeah, it is. And that's the other thing I was I keep trying. I have to go back and listen to what was the guy's name that was on? Yorkin. What was his name?
Where?
The lawyer.
Oh, Yoder. Mike Yoder.
Yorkin.
It was like Yunkin and Yorkie mixed together.
I know. So I'm thinking about dogs and, oh, man. Anyhow.
Doggy?
No. Well, I mean, the baby needs a dog.
Yeah.
Just not now. Maybe a year or something like that. And we need more space. But back to the vaccine. That distinction between that which has been supposedly approved but never seen by the public, and the emergency use authorization that has been just extended, which is the only thing that the public has ever had contact with, I wish that could be brought to the fore a lot more.
Yeah, and I mean, this lawsuit focused on it very much, but not. It doesn't focus on it as the premise of the lawsuit. See, they're not suing the government for falsely claiming that the vaccine is an EUA. You know what I mean? Like, that would be one thing if the entire suit was based on that. But I think, honestly, that we need to change our tactics a little bit here, because the OSHA guidance admits that you can spread the disease if you're vaccinated. And that removes the entire premise for grave harm and if you're a threat when you're in the office to other people and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And they're very crafty in that they're not releasing the numbers or the science behind spread because they stopped counting tests of breakthrough cases, right? So there's no good data. So then people are left to supposition, but there's no good data on the other side either. So it's really a cluster. Now, I'm interested to see how Mike Yoder responds to this, but you're right. I would like to see that more of a forefront. What are you thinking in regards to that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just talking on a disclosure end. There is just such a blockade, like this cognitive blockade that is up there. I mean, I guess the real question is where can you even contest this stuff in a public way that will be handled with any kind of seriousness? Because it doesn't matter. It seems to be ignored by one side altogether, and part of the supposed opposition doesn't even want to touch it because they think it's too politically toxic. So I don't know. But then again, if this is really what's going on, if this is what is really is on the books at the FDA, that there are two types of vaccine technology that are on the books, one being approved that has never been injected in any arms in this country, and the other one just a emergency use authorization, and they're kind of like moonlighting as each other and creating all this confusion. If that is really on the books there, then why wouldn't anybody take the time to go and really try to bring that into the forefront of any kind of a lawsuit? That it's not even it's one thing to say, okay, well, the harm has not been inflicted in this one particular case, that people haven't actually been forced out just yet, and that the deadlines for January is still off by a couple of months. But it's another thing if the premise of all of these mandates and stuff like that is based on very verifiable lies as far as what's been approved and what is still in a testing phase. Because you're talking about forcing people into an experiment, then you're not only talking about American law and natural law, you're talking about international law being violated once again, Nuremberg Code stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's I understand what the judge is talking about by saying no harm has been inflicted yet, but the premise on so much of the premise on so much of what is being pushed with the vaccine itself, I don't know.
It's frustrating that somebody can't do something about this, Frank. It really is. It's like I'm tired of hearing like, oh, well, you know, you have to wait. They did that with the election claims, too. It's like, oh, you're too soon. Then you're too late. You know, it's like, you know, it's screw you. How about you just do the right thing? And you know who can do the right thing? Everybody out there who will just stand strong and go through the appeals process and not cater to this, because every single day, something comes out that, you know, reaffirms how dangerous these things are. And now we've got a bunch of kids running around and we've got the mystery of Gavin Newsom out there. And I do want to say one more thing. There's another footnote in here that's a nod to the incorrect reporting that flooded the internet about this case, which I honestly believe could have had an impact on this judge. I really do, which is why people just need to freaking read. Everybody went out claiming she ruled a temporary injunction. Fox News, Newsweek, they spread it around like wildfire. I kept on saying, guys, this is not what this means. This is incorrect reporting. Nobody corrected it. And the judge referenced it in her decision, saying, media reporting basically that said that I had issued this injunction was false. I was never doing that. I was merely trying to get information for an idea of when this briefing schedule could be, so that I would know the timeline for this case. That's not really true. She was considering it, obviously. So the reporting, I don't know how the public perception of that or what happened to her or who, you know what I mean? It's really important that we get these things right. So what we're going to do today, Frank, I think I'm going to start on this project today where I'm going to try and find all of the cases right now that are brought in court on these vaccines. Like everything versus OSHA, everything versus Biden. I'm going to just scour and see what I can find.
Sounds good to me. You mentioned Gavin Newsom real quick. Let me just pull you off track for a moment. I read, can't tell you how many emails of varying degrees of severity that have to do with Gavin Newsom. that he's dead. He died.
I know.
He died immediately. Guillain-Barré syndrome, all of this stuff.
Palsy. And then
Bell's palsy, that he was then the emails started coming in that he was seen somewhere at a socialite event. Yeah. At a wedding or something yesterday or the day before. So what the hell is it? Because, you know, that kind of an absence, public absence of somebody is kind of suspicious, but at the same time, I don't know, you don't have to be in people's faces every day, even if you're a governor. So what have you seen?
Nothing. The same thing as you. And it's kind of like Psaki, right? She has COVID. She hasn't been seen. Nobody's heard from her. And, you know, when people, you know, Melania went on, you know, a little retreat for a day, and CNN had a full court press out about what's wrong with her and where she is and, you know, all this nonsense. Newsom does not typically spend so much time away from a camera. So it's a little interesting that he is. And people have had sources come to them and say, you know, he's got an injury, but then, you know, they're sources and you can't really corroborated. But I will say that Children's Health Defense, which is Robert Kennedy's foundation that does very accurate work in my experience, did come out with a story that says that he was suffering from a vaccine related adverse effect. And
from the booster,
which he mixed and matched, by the way. And I'm pretty stunned because I didn't believe that these people were actually getting it. I thought they were just faking it for the world, but apparently some of them are.
Yeah, I guess some of them are. But that is if it's confirmed in some way. I mean, it gets a little bit more, you start getting into a little bit more legitimate waters when you hear, you know, Robert Kennedy Jr. talking about sources he has and what he's willing to talk about in public or publish or in any way, shape or form. But still, it's just all rumors. This is just like you said, a person of a little bit more elevated social status. I'm sure you've seen all of the collected media reporting on the nearly 100 professional athletes around the world.
Holy moly, Frank.
That are just dropping dead.
A Pedro Feliciano.
I know.
For goodness sakes, loved him.
Your closer for a number of years there.
Yeah.
45. When I read that, 45 years old, died in his sleep after a Sunday spent jet skiing with his family. And I guess he said he had a small hole in his heart. I don't know if that's mitral valve prolapse that they're talking about, but it's not life threatening. I mean, come on. What the hell is that about? This is horrendous. And you think about all the people, the cultural icons that we have not even mourned yet because the circumstances under which they have died have warranted just kind of like squirreling their bodies away and making sure that nobody talks about what may have happened to them. I mean, Hank Aaron, Larry King, we're forgetting about the people who have passed away over the last year and change that we have not even really been able to mourn because some people are rightfully suspicious and other people are just trying to make it all go away.
Yeah, they're trying to hide them. That's a really good point. And you know what? That's why I said the other day, you can legitimately throw a rock and hit a vaccine injured person. I've never seen anything like this before. Every day there's someone else on the news. Every single day. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, literally every day there's someone else on the news and you're like, shot. Like, because they're so random, Frank. They're not like, oh, he was in a freak accident and got hit by a train. I mean, when have you heard so many people? Maybe it's just because we're super in tune to it right now. I don't know. It's the frequency is just, it's tragic.
No, there is. I think that when it comes to professional sports or at least for professional football, soccer, every year I saw somebody break down the statistics of that there are maybe 5 to 8 people on average who die in the middle of gameplay every year. And that includes amateur sports, amateur levels of play. So not just professional, I should say, in the entire world of the sport itself. Maybe there are 5 to 8 people who have a heart attack or something like that through overexertion in the middle of a match throughout the year. If you're playing in a match in somewhere in the desert, one of those desert countries, and or who knows what's going on inside the person, 5 to 8. The fact that there are over 75 deaths now in these leagues, and many of them professional,
and you can see it happen, like they're on tape.
It's horrendous. The passing out, the falling over.
It's terrible. And the fact that they try to hide it from us, because why? I mean, because why? Because they can't be wrong. That's why.
It makes me wonder one thing, Tracy. It makes me wonder, A, what are people going to start saying when this starts happening in the United States? And B, we've been vaccinating and pushing vaccines or these shots onto American athletes now for about a year. I mean, last season, the Yankees were almost completely vaccinated, and the Yankees were almost completely. They're all completely infected, too, at the same time, vaccinated and infected at the same time. It makes me wonder, what are they running in the United States that they aren't running in the rest of the world? We were watching people falling over in CCTV footage coming out of China in late 2019, early 2020, thinking that was going to happen here. It didn't. What if they're also giving, by and large, to American athletes saline? Because why the hell aren't our American football players falling over? And I don't want it to happen. Why aren't American football players falling over, dropping dead in the middle of matches? We've been inoculating them for as long as the rest of the world has.
Yeah, I was thinking about this last night, too, when we talked about it briefly on Monday, because you're right. Like, is there an experiment going on where some people, because like, for example, like I know some kids at my kid's school who have been vaccinated, in quotes, and they're absolutely fine. Like nothing ever happened. Right. Then I know other ones who are like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, so-and-so has a weird seizure disorder now and she can't participate in this event. And it's like, was she vaccinated? Yeah. Right. Or is it just something biologically that is causing some people to react and other people don't react right away, or they don't react at all?
I don't know. I don't know, because it doesn't seem it seems like too widespread of a reaction in some parts of the world that it's a little bit more indiscriminate. I don't know.
We also don't know if they're getting Pfizer, Moderna, or J&J, or if they're getting the other one that's available.
Speaking of J&J, I saw that testimony of the 30-year flight attendant.
Yes.
You saw that?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because this is going to start to happen now. There was somebody that shared a video in the Dark to Light podcast room. That it was a TikTok of a guy who had a really interesting logic about all of this. Now that you're bringing that up, I think it might make sense to play it. It was funny. It was like he was talking about, like, what is the definition of work, right? Hold on. So here we go. Let's listen to this.
Medical professionals are being given a choice right now. And I think everyone knows the choice that I'm talking about. You can either choose to get vaccinated and keep your job, or you can choose to not get vaccinated and lose your job. A very common response to this that I hear on the left is that choices have consequences, which is completely true. It's just not the correct framing for the argument. Your employer does have a choice to mandate these vaccines if you would like to continue to work for them. I believe in the freedom of the employer. But for people who've been screaming workers' rights for so long, it's kind of surprising to hear this take. With a traditional work mandate, when you go to work, you must do something. But when you're off work, you're free to do whatever you want. The issue with these vaccines is that they don't leave your system when you clock out. It's not clock out there, I did what I work required me to do to be at work. It's I clocked out and I'm still doing something that is required for me to be at work. Which means what? It means you should be continued to be paid for all the time that you are doing something required to be at work. So while employers are requiring employees to get a vaccine and do something so invasive that stays with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, while they're sleeping, while they're driving, while they're eating, it seems very reasonable for me as an employee to not refuse to get vaccinated. I wouldn't refuse, I'd say. Now, I'm not refusing to be vaccinated. I'm just requiring that you pay me for all the time I'm doing what you're requiring me to do, which would be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for the rest of my life.
It's true. I mean, your body at that point, your body is being programmed genetically to do work. That
You wouldn't have to do it if they didn't require you to, and it doesn't ever leave you ever. Like, are they understanding the finality of what they're requesting? Do they really want to go down that road like we're seeing today in or yesterday with the employee who suffered an injury? They won't pay out workers' comp for her. She's on her own, even though they required her to do it. Watch for these cases to come back because you can't hold the government liable, right?
Right.
You can't hold the vaccine manufacturer liable. Who can you hold liable? There's no clause out for employers. Just saying.
Yeah.
It's just a shitty place. It's a shitty place. And I still feel like this Yoder case that we started off talking about was super strong. I don't know what this judge is thinking. It's clear as day from the Zoom that, you know, actually I'm wrong. I do know what the judge is thinking. Screw you people. I'm not going to be the first one to do this. And I don't care where we live. This isn't the United States of America anymore. And there is no justice. And that's the argument I have with Spygate too, Frank.
So at this point with Spygate, it is looking pretty grim.
No. Well, I mean, while Trump was in office and Barr was doing this, I was one of the people saying, guys, there's no way in hell that they're going to be able to get away with this. You know, there's still, you know, there's so much going on. Look at all this evidence. They have a special counsel. They're doing this, this, and this, blah, blah, blah. But then the election happened and I saw that we don't have a justice system in this country anymore. Nobody's ever held accountable for anything ever, ever. And my hope that there's going to be any accountability for the biggest crime against our country. And I would argue sedition and treason to be prosecuted and people to be actually held to account is literally in the toilet. Sorry, it just is.
And you want an example of this? I know to tie this into something that is related, but a little bit unrelated because we're talking about the judicial system. But the Kyle Rittenhouse.
Oh, I was going to talk about this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to see a trial, which we all, anybody who is, you know, coming from this in an appropriate perspective, knows that Kyle Rittenhouse defended himself rightfully, showed as a 17-year-old more control and poise in a dangerous situation than I think most adults would show.
The rest of the world knows it now too.
Oh yeah, completely in the right. And it's one thing to see a trial implode before the public's eyes by having these key witnesses even admit that he was acting in self-defense. It's aside from that, it's looking at the behavior of the prosecution.
Oh yeah.
Looking at the prosecution sit there with their head in their hands because the truth was told. You know, what does that tell you about what kind of justice they were looking for, that they were upset the truth was told?
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, there was a witness yesterday who stood up and said that the DA basically threatened him to change his statement.
Yeah, they're tampering with witness statements. I mean, once again, what does it tell you about what these people who have been assigned to this case think justice is?
They don't. There is no justice.
I'm telling you that, and you take that, you can extrapolate that out to Spygate, because of course these fat roly poly losers who have been assigned as prosecutors in the Rittenhouse case are not top of the pecking order. In fact, they're pretty sloppy amateurs, if you ask me. That's why they're working in places like Minnesota and not DC.
You know what's funny is that there's like a live stream. I watched some of it yesterday. It was so interesting to see. I said in our text message group last night, Frank, you probably saw it somewhere. Derek Chauvin is wondering why he didn't work in Wisconsin, because yesterday's Kyle Rittenhouse, like yesterday and the day before, both of them were just incredible to watch. You've got, like you said, a prosecution who has their star witness. One of the people, I believe he was injured or shot by Kyle Rittenhouse. No.
Yeah.
He's up there on the stand being cross-examined by the defense and literally admits that he was charging at Kyle Rittenhouse with his weapon drawn when he was shot.
And that Rittenhouse lowered his weapon when his hands were up.
Yes.
And that he only raised his weapon to shoot him when he then pulled, pointed the gun and came at him aggressively.
And then the camera in the back catches the prosecutor, like you said, sitting there with his head in his hands. Like, holy shit. What did this guy just do to our already non-existent case? Like, the judge should have tossed that crap out right then. And then yesterday, we had Grambo. It was an older lady. I don't think she looked like a grandma, per se. She was probably in her 60s. Would you agree?
Who are we talking about?
Grambo. Why is New York University calling me? That's weird. I'm going to hang up. Grambo was her nickname now. She was an older woman who was with them kind of defending these car locations and stuff, where she was on the stand and the prosecution was interviewing her or questioning her about, you know, what happened. Kyle went back to the house and he said that, you know, I just shot somebody. I had no choice. They tried to make it like he ran from the police, even though he turned himself in like not even an hour later. Like, the kid did everything right. And she was just not having it at all. The woman was like, they're calling her Rambo and Grandma together for a reason. She was like, you know, basically schooling the prosecutor on weapons. Like, he had no idea what he was talking about when it came to guns. Like, it's been insane to watch this. It would be crazy to me, because most of Kenosha, Wisconsin is not like on the Kyle Rittenhouse is a bad guy bandwagon. I'm sorry. They're just not.
Well, I would have to imagine that anybody who lives in Kenosha would understand what the hell was happening to Kenosha at that point. And I said Minnesota before. I meant Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But and you were even saying it before. If you want to see how much of an issue of race this is, then look no further to the family members of George Floyd getting involved with all this stuff with intimidation of the jury.
Yep.
When everybody involved in this situation is white.
Yeah. So, yes, that's something that I said last night, is that, you know, George Floyd's cousin is tweeting out and documenting, and the judge has had to reprimand on this, that people are taking pictures of the jurors, and George Floyd's cousin is threatening the jurors that if they do not vote to vote to convict him, that they're going to face repercussions, and that he's got all their pictures, and that we know who you are, and this is just the beginning, right? And I'm like, that just proves that the George Floyd plight never was about race, or maybe it was when it first started the day or two after, and quickly morphed into an ideological war of communism versus freedom. It's not about race. It's about cramming their ideology down your throat and making sure that you comply or else. I have a voicemail. This is interesting, Frank.
What is it? A voicemail from New York University?
Oops. Yeah. I wonder what this is. Press 5 now or press 9 to be removed from our list.
What will you do?
I don't know.
What will you do?
They're like, it's time to be vaccinated. I don't know what the voicemail was for. It was like quick. Anyway, so, you know, it's not like they're literally threatening these people. And it just goes to the whole point of why Kyle Rittenhouse was doing what he was doing in the first place. To combat this. Like, you can't, that in cases where a trial is going according to the law, there is an impartial and fair judge. There likely is a jury who's seeing the facts of the case for what it is. They can't have that either. They have to come in like the little tyrants that they are and intimidate your life in order to get you to do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's sick. It's like, who the F do you think you are? And then last night, like, I mean, it's everywhere. It's not just this. It's not just social justice. It's not just vaccination. It's everything. They want control over everything.
It's not even to be believed. I'm going to be doing a show tonight. I started a little bit on this last night, but the NATO, Al Gore, and what they're talking about now with climate surveillance. Like everything that we lived through with COVID, what they have been able to justify with how they have been able to, all the liberties that you and I have discussed many times, that many people have discussed at great length, the liberties that they took to do things like classify hundreds of thousands of deaths as COVID, to pull statistics from here and there, to just pile up bodies and to use that as justification to do other things. On a social justice side, we see what is being done, how prosecutors work to be able to pile up reasons to go and justify things like nationalizing police or getting rid of police and shit like that.
Yeah.
Now you have complete full spectrum dominance that is even being talked about from NATO, where they're talking about.
Hold on a second. I'm not trying to interrupt you. I just have to say Kyle Rittenhouse is on the stand right now.
Oh, boy. OK.
Do you want to play some of it?
Yeah, let's go.
Else on that, I don't need to cover that in terms of a possible inquiry. He will be able to ask you anything which is relevant to this case, germane, pertinent to this case. And you will have to answer those questions, even though it may ensnare you in some other criminal prosecution. You understand that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Any question about that at all?
No, Your Honor.
You also have a right not to testify if you don't wish to do so. And if you decide that you do not wish to testify, then no comment can be made on your silence by the district attorney. And I will not comment on your silence unless I am asked by your attorney to do so. And the only comment that I would make on it, if I were asked to do so, would be to instruct the jury that the defendant in a criminal case has the absolute constitutional right not to testify, and that your silence must not be considered by the jury in any manner in deliberation or in reaching their verdict. Do you understand that?
Yes, Your Honor.
So that'll be a choice that I would.
Could either be the best thing that he could ever do or the very worst thing that he could ever do. Now, the prosecutors have not shown themselves to be very bright. Yes, and he's got the truth on his side.
Yeah, he's got that going for him. The prosecutors are assholes.
Yeah.
Dumb ones, too.
I mean, so the judge is just instructing him right now. But I honestly, I am OK with spending the next 20 minutes listening to this and stopping to critique and talk and whatever, if you are.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's go ahead.
I mean, why not? You know?
Yeah, why not? 10:40. We got enough time.
Yeah. Here. Hold on.
That won't be an issue if you decide that you do want to testify, okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
Any question about this at all?
No, Your Honor.
Have you had enough time to discuss this matter with your lawyers?
Yes, Your Honor.
Have you had enough time to think about what you're doing?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you think what you're doing is the best thing under all the circumstances?
Yes, Your Honor.
Has anybody threatened you or pressured you or forced you in any way with respect to this decision?
No, Your Honor.
Has anybody promised you anything in exchange for this?
No, Your Honor.
Is your mind clear today?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you feeling all right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Have you had anything alcoholic to drink today?
No, Your Honor.
Have you had any drugs or controlled substances of any kind within the last 24 hours?
No, Your Honor.
Any reason I should not accept his waiver?
No, Your Honor. This is consistent with advice of counsel.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. All right, then. Anything else?
May I just have a moment to run back to my office real quick? I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Sure.
Thank you.
He's got to run back to his office.
Who? The prosecutor?
Yeah.
What's he gonna go get it? What's he gonna go get?
There's his poor mom sitting there in the pews. Looks like she hasn't slept in months. Of course, there's a little bit of a pause now because the prosecutor decided he needed to go back to his office. And I don't know, where were you on the night of? I was laying on the ground defending my life. That's where I was. I
wonder where the prosecutor was the night of the riots, that deadly riot in Kenosha.
He was dressed up as Antifa inside the crowd.
Yeah, he was probably at the gas station that night. Yeah, taking the air out of people's tires.
Yeah, this is I was listening to Viva LaFrey and Barnes talk about this yesterday because those are two legal minds I like to listen to. And they were saying, like, there's really no need for him to testify. Like, the case is going so well. There's no need to put him up there. But again, if you are, in my opinion, there's nothing he could say that would hurt him because he's just right. The truth is there. I mean, it's clear as day here. I don't know who is going to question. I think it's the defense witness, so the defense will question him first. But I mean, he's a young man who was put in a horrible situation and had to do something I'm sure he didn't want to ever have to do in his life. Mm-hmm. This is something I'm amazed, actually. I'm amazed.
Well, you don't really need to think too hard about telling the truth if what you're talking about is the truth.
Right.
And we've been able to and listen, the whole damn thing has been documented on video from multiple angles. Anybody who wants to watch it with two open eyes knows the truth.
Well, you know, it's funny because yesterday, what's her name from the Young Turks that has been like an anti-Kyle, he's back, an anti-Kyle Rittenhouse stalwart, actually came out and said, I was wrong the entire time. I didn't realize all of this information. Well, maybe you should have waited until you crucified this kid, until you had all the information. You just had to watch the videos. They've been available. I mean, there's more come. See, but
it doesn't help anybody when people go and do, like, who's it, Anna Kasparian?
Oh, hold on. Anna Kasparian. The judge is yelling at somebody. Sorry. Okay, he stopped. Yeah, Anna Kasparian was the one that came out and said she made a mistake.
Yeah, it doesn't help anybody if you say that stuff over a year after the fact, because especially if you're in a position like they are at the Young Turks, whatever huddled masses of idiots actually watch the Young Turks for news and opinions have already spent a year of their lives parroting what they have said with confidence. Most people are not going to want to renege what they have said in front of their friends and family after casting all of them off.
Yep.
So doesn't matter anymore. You've already said it. It's like printing a retraction on page 37.
Correct. Okay, here we go.
Can I ask you to stand, please, and raise your right hand? Do you satisfy the testimony you're about to give this matter, be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
You may be seated.
Oh, boy.
Could you please state your name, spell, and your last name for the record?
Kyle Rittenhouse, Rittenhouse.
Kyle, where do you reside?
Walworth County.
How old are you?
18.
On August 25th of 2020, did you come to downtown Kenosha to look for trouble?
No.
Would you have shot Joseph Rosenbaum if he hadn't chased you trying to take your firearm?
Objection, leading.
I'm leading.
I'll get to it. Are you a high school graduate?
Yes.
What high school?
Penn Foster Online High School.
Are you currently enrolled in any further studies?
I'm a college student studying nursing at Arizona State University.
Who do you currently live with?
My mom and two sisters.
Directing your attention to August 25th of 2020, where did you reside?
Antioch, Illinois.
Do you remember the address?
286 Anita Terrace, apartment 104, Antioch, Illinois.
And who did you live with there?
My mother and two sisters.
What's your father's name?
Michael Rittenhouse.
Back on August 25th of 2020, where did he reside?
He lived in Kenosha, in the city of Kenosha, in the apartments behind the Pick and Save on 50th.
Ooh.
On 50th.
Do you have any other family that's from Kenosha?
Yes.
That's huge.
What?
Hello.
That's huge, because then everything people say, he came in from out of state to just be a part of the to kill somebody.
Is that the first time we've learned that his dad lived there?
Absolutely. It's the first time I ever heard it.
And other family?
Never heard that before. Wow.
Yeah. All right. Well, hold on.
My grandmother, my aunt, my uncle and cousins all live in the city of Kenosha.
Okay. There's been testimony in this trial about the firearm in question, which has been marked States 28. You've seen that gun?
Yes.
Before August 25th of 2020, had that gun ever left the state of Wisconsin?
No.
Now, before this event happened on August 25th of 2020, did you have any hobbies?
Yes.
Tell the jury what you like to do.
I was a swimmer. I enjoyed working. I was a lifeguard. Hanging out with friends, going to the beach. Just normal teenage stuff.
Were you a member of any groups, organized groups?
Yes.
What?
I was a police explorer for Grays Lake Police Department, and I was a firefighter EMT cadet for Antioch Fire Department.
Did you have any training in life-saving, anything like that?
Yes.
What?
I was a certified lifeguard. I was a certified, I am a certified lifeguard and swim instructor. I am certified in Stop the Bleed, CPR, AED, automatic external defibrillator, and basic life support.
Okay. On August 25th of 2020, where were you employed?
I was furloughed at the YMCA in Lindenhurst, Illinois because of the COVID-19 pandemic, and I was working at the Recplex in Pleasant Prairie.
Okay. Recplex here in Kenosha County?
Yes.
Now, whoa! He was working for a company in Kenosha?
So it sounds like right off the bat, I know where this is all going. He was in town. He has family he'd probably like to defend. He has business interests. He has just a general interest in helping people, in life saving, in community stability. And, you know, I wish we had more people that just answered the call like this.
I am stunned because, honestly, I haven't followed this case with a magnifying glass, Frank. But, and I could be wrong, and I mean, you could be wrong too, but I think the general perception now is that we both don't have any clue of any of the stuff that we just learned.
Right, and I'm wondering why the hell this hasn't come out sooner.
I mean, it's going to make a lot more of an impact right now.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, let's keep going, I guess.
Night of the 24th, did you come to downtown Kenosha?
Not downtown, but I came to Kenosha for work.
Okay. And after your shift at work completed, where did you go?
I went to Dominic Black's stepfather's house. I believe his name is Scott Dickhart. It's been a while since I've seen him.
Okay. And who is Dominic Black in relationship to you?
Dominic Black and my sister Mackenzie Rittenhouse used to date.
Okay. And on the night of the 24th, were you aware of anything going on in Kenosha?
I knew there was protests, demonstrations, and riots going on in the later evening.
Okay. And how were you aware of that?
I saw videos on social media, on Facebook live streams, TikTok, of I saw the Car Source lot being burned down, the Car Source 1, what we've been referring to. I saw a police officer get assaulted. He had a brick thrown at his head. And I saw the mattress store owner get knocked out, and I believe his jaw was broken and had to be wired shut or something.
And you saw all of that on the 24th?
Yes.
Did you go to downtown Kenosha at that time and try and do anything about that?
No, I did not.
Directing your attention to the late morning of August 25th, 2020. Did you have occasion to go downtown?
Did go downtown in the morning of August.
Go there with?
I went there with Dominic Black, my sister Mackenzie Rittenhouse, and Ray Dickhart.
And describe what you did.
We walked around for a little bit, and then I believe at around 11:30 noon, we ended up at Reuther Central High School, where we ended up cleaning graffiti for about, I want to say, an hour and a half to 2 hours.
The feed's not
previously good. Marked as exhibit 131. Do you recognize that?
I do.
Could you describe what you see in that photo?
Towards the left in the olive green shirt, that's me. And then to my left, that's Ray Dickhart. And to my right, that's my sister Mackenzie Rittenhouse. And
what are you doing there?
We're cleaning graffiti off of Reuther Central High School.
And were you getting paid to do this?
No, I was not.
And you see what the graffiti says?
Yes.
And you do what it said as you were cleaning it off?
Yes.
I won't repeat it. After you were done doing
it
that,
says,
what
like,
did you do?
Fuck this, fuck that, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's, of course, completely graphic and horrible. And
the kid's a saint.
He kind of is.
He really is. He's like Saint Kyle.
Just to let you know, by the way, I don't know if you ever watched Game of Thrones. Have you, Frank?
Of course. Yes.
So the one prosecutor who's glaring at Kyle Rittenhouse right now, one of the guys that's doing live threads of this trial is calling him Littlefinger.
with the prosecutor?
Because he really looks like Littlefinger.
Oh,
like,
I know what you're talking about. The guy that was sitting next to the bald ginger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Here we
don't
go.
Fight in the north. Fight every battle at every time.
I'm gonna end
everything
up dying.
Will be like something you have seen before. Okay.
We went to the car source lot, the first location, and we were looking at the destruction of the burnt cars, and we saw the owner, Sam and Sal, I believe that's what they told us their names were.
And you saw, when we say car source, the one that you met Sam and Sal at is what we've been referring to as car source number one?
Yes.
And that's the one that they just played a video of all the burnt out cars?
Yes.
Did you have any discussions with Sam and Sal?
Briefly, I offered my condolences and I said, if there's anything I can do, please reach out to me. He gave me his number. I gave him my number. And
you were with Dominic Black at that time?
I was.
And your sister?
Yes.
And what did you do after that?
After that, we walked back to, I believe, we parked their car by, you see the parking lot?
Do you have the pointer up there?
Yes. We parked our car right out of that corner, somewhere over there.
I can't see that far, I'm sorry.
He's pointing at the picture map.
To the parking lot, which is at the corner, 5th Sheridan.
Why can't you get a good live stream out of this?
What? I don't know. It was all the 5G, 6G, ass G bullshit that goes on out there. You think that we'd be living in the...
I mean, better than the O.J. Simpson trial, at least.
Okay.
And you know what's funny? That I'm pausing it again. This is how I explained it to my husband, too. I said, imagine it was the O.J. Simpson trial and... they got O.J. Simpson to admit on the stand that he actually charged at Nicole Simpson with the knife.
Yeah.
That was basically what happened with that witness.
Now, it really just comes down to, of course, a jury of our peers here. Because there is really there's no more guarantees to anything anymore.
No, there's not.
None.
I would continue playing this, but I have no faith that the stream is good, so...
Pretty much what it comes down to is Kyle Rittenhouse should not only get off because he's innocent, but he should run either for sheriff somewhere or surgeon general or. I mean,
can we have like parades in his honor, for goodness sakes, just listening to this kid speak? And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I just hope that there are men and women out there raising more Kyle Rittenhouses.
Barnes, I believe. Because Robert Barnes has been involved with this case. There's been a lot of drama behind the scenes with this case. But from what I understand, like, remember when he ended up somehow with a bunch of Proud Boys? You remember Kyle Rittenhouse was like released from jail?
Okay. Yeah. I think I remember something like that.
He ended up with a bunch of Proud Boys in a bar somehow that apparently, like, I was reading somewhere, I don't remember where, that he was coerced there or he had no idea and somebody put him in that situation. There's a lot behind the scenes on this case, but this kid seems like a really good kid.
Well, and now that we know that Proud Boys is one of those organizations that has been so thoroughly infiltrated by yeah. federal lunatics, I wouldn't be surprised if any of their colleagues were in there.
Well,
put a backwards hat on when bought him a drink.
Right. Right. Glowies, they call them. Right. And, you know, yesterday, Julie Kelly published a piece that court documents had been released. And now they know that the FBI was way more involved in January 6th than previously thought. We thought it the entire time, literally, like, ties back again to the Gretchen Whitmer test run. You know, Christopher Wray sitting up there saying, I wish we had had the intelligence to know to be able to stop this in advance. You're doing it. I mean, you planned the thing. It's coming out more and more that they were like integrally. That's the word I'm looking for. Involved.
Integrally.
Integrally.
I don't know how to conjugate that, to be honest.
Integrally.
intimately involved.
Oh, by the way, Finch texted me and he goes, "Hey, Tracy, you know, I love you like a sister, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's Uh-oh. Like, whenever you start it with that, you know, there's a problem coming. It goes like this. It's Elias, not Ilias. Elias. Lie.
Oh, I keep calling him Mark Ilias.
I say Ilias too.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because I don't care what their names are.
I know.
I actually hope that I mispronounce all of their names and they take it as a slight.
Yes. Yes. And there's some big thing trending on Twitter today. Like, it's called, Gigi showed it to me this morning. It's called hashtag, it's for a movie. Hold on. I'm going to tell you what it is. Like, hashtag red line or something. It's about tattling on people that you see committing crimes. It's like the way they're going to enforce the OSHA thing, because they don't have enough people to go around following these companies and seeing if they're complying. It's called red notice. A red notice is issued to warn the world about the most dastardly of criminals, from global art thieves to snack stealing friends. Know someone who fits the bill? Tag them and reply to this tweet using red notice to put them on blast and see your tweet in Times Square.
You know what we need? We need an application called Snitches Get Stitches, and you get to go and tattletale on the tattlers, and then we all get to go beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, talk about, it's ratioed to all high hell, by the way, too. Talk about subliminal, getting ready for your CCP-style social credit scores, I see. And then did you see the freaking, I am of the firm belief, Frank, that Pfizer is just trolling. Did you see the Pfizer meme?
No.
Go to Pfizer's account.
Where, on Twitter?
On Twitter.
Hold on. PFZ.
PFIZER.
See, I don't even care. PFIZER.
It's the second one down. They have shut off replies to it.
Okay. Pfizer Inc. Second one down. Okay. It's easy to get distracted by misinformation these days, but don't worry. Science has got your back. The human brain, wild conspiracy theories. Science, the human brain, wild science pulls you back from the wild conspiracy theories. All right. This is pathetic. It
looks like science is about to screw you up the...
Yeah.
Oh, look at science.
It's weird.
It's very weird, but they made it so you can't reply to it. So if you just hit the quote tweets and look at them.
Yep.
Paul Joseph Watson just responded. Here's an idea. Blocking the ability to reply to a tweet and threatening your critics with imprisonment maybe isn't the best way of instilling confidence in science. Like, does Pfizer know that quote tweet ratios count double? There's a whole bunch of really, really witty responses. So I said yesterday, they're trolling you to see what your argument is to vaccine hesitancy or noncompliance, because all the memes that are created in response to this, of which there are now thousands, will be the data that they need to see what the hell's really going on out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And the inability for them to meme. The inability for them to be fun. It's incredible.
They have to know that this is ridiculous. Like, they have to know it. But then again, I thought Gavin Newsom had to know not to get an actual vaccine. So.
Right.
Anyway, we're done for the day. I'm going to go listen to the rest of the Rittenhouse trial.
Yeah, well, in either case, I hope that you enjoy your day and you know where to find me.
I do. You have been listening to, and you too, by the way, you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Hump Day Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Friday.
Later.
RadioInfluence.com.